Syndicated personal finance columnist Michelle Singletary has been a frequent guest, advising us on investing and budgeting. But she's just wrapped up a 10-part series on misconceptions about race and money, how during Reconstruction, black men were re-enslaved, arrested on petty charges, and sent to work prisons. She explained redlining, the systematic denial of loans to black neighborhoods, which also denied black families the chance to accumulate wealth, and why credit scores are damaging to black people because of an algorithm that factors in things like loans they can't get. A column on philanthropy demonstrated that rather than taking from society, blacks donate 25% more of their income than whites. And in an emotional article about affirmative action, Michelle Singletary wrote about the devastation she felt hearing that colleagues at the Washington Post were saying that she'd just been hired because she was black. She decided to confront her white editor, David Weiss, who said, yes, that's true, but then listed other reasons. She called him again recently for a Washington Post podcast on the series.
It was important for me to make absolutely clear to you that being black was a factor in my hiring you for certain because we lacked enough diversity. But I also said to you that being a woman was important, and being young was important.
The series was called Sincerely Michelle, Open Letters from Michelle, who is black, to white readers. The last Friday had reader response. One young man wrote he finally understood that racism was robbery. Others weren't so kind. Michelle Singletary joins us now. And first, how did you feel to hear again from your editor why he'd hired you?
Right. I love that. And when people say, oh, blacks just want these jobs. No, we don't want to be in a job where we're not qualified for it. That sets you up for failure. That's what I was really asking him. Am I qualified? And when he said, yes, I hired you because you were black, my heart sank. And I asked him later, why did you say all that other stuff that you said? And he said, because I want you to see your blackness as an asset, Michelle.
Boy, what a ride you've taken us on and you've been on. How emotional was it to write this series?
It was one of the hardest things I've had to do. You expose yourself to racist comments. I initially didn't want to go there. But after the death of George Floyd, I just finally thought I have to use my platform to say a lot of things that you think about Black Americans is incorrect, and you're not putting it in context of the history and legacy of slavery.
When, as you laid out, you know, the ramifications, you talk about your grandmother, Big Mama,
yeah.
And how
yeah.
she didn't want to fill out forms for you to get aid for college because she didn't trust the system, or why she didn't want to invest because of the legacy of slavery. Just briefly, what was her reasoning?
Well, with the college application, you know, you fill out the financial aid form, and I was just presenting it to her to, you know, put down what she earned, and she absolutely refused. And she said, if I do that, the white man is going to come take my house. I didn't understand the depth of her fear that was based in reality. There were white mobs that took people's property, and it was very real for her. She lived through that. Mm-hmm. And I never really understood that. And I was so angry thinking, I'm not going to be able to go to college because she's so scared about something that doesn't exist. And what she was saying is, Michelle, it does exist, and I'm scared. And then on investing, again, financial institutions discriminated against African Americans. And I had to fight through the things that the fear she placed in me to trust the investing so that my money could work for me.
Yeah, we hear the pain now. And we know these inequities are true. We just did a story about how black families de-black their homes when they're getting an appraisal, take out anything that might show that a black family lives there. They even ask white friends to stand in for them because it's been shown a white family will get a higher appraisal than a black family. I mean, this is true. In a column December 4th, it was titled, Racial Microaggressions Take a Major Toll on Black Americans. We've talked here about microaggressions, these daily little insults and assumptions that can wound, you know, black people in stores being followed because it's assumed they're shoplifting or being approached as if they're the clerks. You share a story about your husband being approached as he played with your kids in a pool at a resort.
This elderly white man came threw the pool up to my husband. And he says, I'm so proud of you playing with your children. You know, on the surface, you may think, oh, that's a compliment. We knew what that meant. And I looked at my husband and he just sort of mouthed to me, let it go. Mm. And what he was saying is that we don't play with our children, and that he was just so proud that we were there playing with our children, doing something very normal, very American.
By we, you mean Black people, you know, that fathers are absentee. And you actually did research, Black fathers are not absentee.
That is correct. That is correct. Now, it is true that more African-American children are born to single mothers, but that does not mean that they don't have fathers and that fathers are not active in their lives. A CDC study showed that they're more likely to be taking care of the children, like putting diapers on them or feeding them, than white fathers. And so you need to be very careful when you take these statistics and you don't look at the history behind them.
Talk more about when it comes to microaggressions. You were approached with your family on a TSA quick line at the airport, you know, one that gets you through security quickly. And a man said to you when you joined the line, I think you're in the wrong line. This is for TSA.
The assumption is we don't belong, that we can't afford to be here. And we were the only Black family in the line. I know exactly where I am. So what he was saying is, oh, you can't possibly be in this line. You can't afford TSP, your whole Black family. When you get a lifetime of these, it weighs on you. You feel like you are not part of this country. I mean, I remember I was traveling overseas as a student, and I was with a whole collection of other foreign students from different countries, and they got to me. We were all sharing where we were from, and someone said, Michelle, where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm Black. And they just asked the question, no, where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm Black. And finally, the person said, no, Michelle, what country do you live in? Oh, I said, America. And they said, oh, so you're an American. I said, no, I'm Black. And it wasn't until that point that I realized that I had never thought of myself as a Black American because America didn't treat me like I was an American.
Wow. I mean, you write about these things, but it's obvious you feel them so profoundly. I mean, you're sitting in the front row of a theater. You and your husband had bought these great seats, and a woman taps you on the shoulder and says, how did you get these seats?
Yeah.
As if you couldn't possibly have bought them. And what you relay to us is your research on microaggressions is if you don't say something about it, you know, silence creates sickness.
It does. It eats at you. I didn't tell the whole conversation, but she's like, you must know someone into play to have gotten these, you know, great free tickets. And I'm thinking, well, why would you assume that I couldn't pay for premium front row seats? I didn't say anything. And sometimes you don't say anything because you don't want to come off as the angry Black person. But you can see I'm still seething because I wanted to say at that time, you just made an assumption about me that invalidated my ability to save to pay for these tickets.
Which is what you do for a living. You know, you advise people on how to save for things like that. And then you get, you know, the response. Wonderful, but also brutal. What was it like to get some of these responses? Here's one. Did you ever consider if your ancestors hadn't been brought to America, you'd be living in a mud hut in Africa? You knew you were going to get these.
I did. In fact, we had a conversation as we were developing the series about whether we would allow comments at the end of the column. And we decided to turn it off for the very reason that you just read. I mean, the kind of things that I've been getting in my email box are just horrid. And I kept thinking, I can't believe that this is happening, that you're saying this, that you actually believe this, that I'm somehow different because of the color of my skin. And then I got an email from someone who was devaluing what I was saying, who told me they didn't diversity presentations, like, just wow. You know?
And I want to say again, we're going to link people up to the columns. Everything you wrote was backed by research and historical fact. But then, Michelle, there's also the 81-year-old white woman who volunteers at the National Building Museum who wrote about, you know, this place is a giant playground for little kids. I would frequently tell the Black fathers something like, it's so wonderful to see you playing with your children. I didn't say that to the white fathers. Thank you for exposing this for what it is?
Yeah. That email made me cry too, but in a good way. This here's this woman who's saying, after all these years, I can learn something. And I was so appreciative of her reflecting on that. And I thought, yeah, this is why I'm doing this series.
Are you glad you did it?
I am glad I did it, because I couldn't stay silent anymore. We are not going to fix this race thing in America if we are not willing to have candid conversations about race, and that we all can learn from that. And what I got out of this series is that a lot of people do want to listen, and they do want to understand. And this series helped them understand what it's like to be a Black American.
That's Washington Post syndicated personal finance columnist Michelle Singletary. We'll link you to her columns at herenow.org. Sincerely, Michelle, was the series. And it was sincere. Michelle, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.